Okay, I can imagine, you know, I'm going to say something concerning what we're doing for the big day. One of the things we're doing, as we've already mentioned in the announcements, is the prayer charts on the wall. You know, you'll have to forgive his throat tonight. I didn't notice it all day. So one of the things to add to your prayer list is that the preacher stays healthy through Sunday. Amen. I sometimes get this throat problem. Think it's just allergies. But anyway, a lot of things to pray about. And I want to talk to you about prayer a little bit tonight. And you know, somebody said, and this is a good little old cliche, that we need to work like it all depends on us. Then we need to pray like it all depends on God. And get that combination, and that's a winning combination. Amen. Many years ago, when I first surrendered to preach, and I remember that first night I had to preach a sermon in my home church, and the preacher told me, I mean, he'd been kind of guiding me, helping me, that he felt like the Lord was calling me. I wasn't so sure of it. And he said, I'm going to be gone Sunday night. You're going to have to preach. And let me tell you what, I did some extra praying. I was very, very scared. And I claimed a verse that week, I guess, as soon as I knew it, 2 or 3 days before I preached, whatever it was. I claim Zechariah 4:6, where it says the word of the Lord came unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I've claimed that my whole ministry, that, Lord, I'm like Solomon, and I don't know how to go out and come in. I'm like a little child. I need you all the way. And it don't matter if I've been here 44 years or 144, I still need the Lord every time. And that's the attitude we ought to have in our life, that we are trusting the Lord. I believe it'll fit in a text I want to start off with, and I hope I'll go to 2 or 3 other places tonight. But 1 Thessalonians, last chapter, chapter 5. And Paul is going through this thing of telling them they're not going to suffer under the wrath of God, that others are going to be in surprised and in darkness. But he says in verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells us to comfort ourselves. Wouldn't be no comfort if I was looking for the Antichrist. Amen. I'm looking for the Christ, my Savior, my blessed hope. So he comes on down talking about how they ought to conduct themselves, and getting down to a couple of short verses, verse 16 and 17 of this last chapter. He says, rejoice evermore. And then he says, pray without ceasing. Now, I've had a lot of folks say, how can we pray without ceasing? What does it actually mean? Well, I think it means a consistent attitude of prayer. I think you can pray with your eyes wide open driving down the road, especially if you're doing 90 or 100, you pray better. But in all reality, in our minds and in our hearts, we keep an attitude of prayer. Now, if you're saved, it'll finally become somewhat automatic that you'll just, you're talking to God all the time. Now, I preached pretty hard against Jimmy Carter, and Stephen come along later and said he and I both had the same grandpa several generations back. I hope he's wrong. But anyway, I preached against his liberalism just like I do the ones that's in there now. And anyway, though, some of the press was interviewing Jimmy Carter back when he was either running or after he'd won and was president, and asked him, how many times did he pray in a day? And he said, well, I don't know, maybe 100. And that just blew their minds that couldn't be possible. But you know, I really think Jimmy was probably born again, claimed he was. I wish he'd get his Bible right in some areas, but anyway. Anyway, do you know, in a sense, you can pray that much or more every day? in all reality, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, your communion with the Lord. And so it talks about being consistent here. Pray without ceasing. I've often used this thought. When a mother has a baby, and that baby's young, and she's having to give it much attention and take care of it all the time, that mother might be in another bed or even in another bedroom. But one little whimper out of that baby and she's awake. She's in tune all the time. And we ought to be in tune with the Lord all the time. And if you can work at that, and it'll become natural to you if you're saved. Now, if you're not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, you can't fake this thing. It won't work. Flesh won't handle it. But in the Spirit, you can be consistent in prayer with the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about it tonight. To begin with, we can always, and this seems so redundant, but why pray? Let me answer that question just a little. Why pray? Well, to begin with, because of the promises you read in God's Word concerning prayer. Now you think about that. There's just no limit to them. You just keep on finding them. I'll get you to look at one with me. Turn over to James. James chapter 5. A lot of folks don't understand the book of James a little bit. They sometimes think he's talking about against grace, but he's not. He's talking about if you got faith, it'll show. That's right, amen. And if you don't have it, it won't. Amen. But I look over here in the book of James in chapter 5. Pick it up with me in verse 14. Let's just read a few verses. You're familiar with them, but think about them a minute. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, we've done that many times. I've seen some folks get well that wasn't supposed to. I've seen some others that went ahead and died. And God is still the boss. He's still in charge. But he tells us to pray. And he gives us a promise to pray. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And here's a promise. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, it starts with cleaning up, being clean before the Lord. I often say, in a sense, you could argue this, about praying ground with God. I believe some folks are trying to pray for other things before they get themselves right with God in the first place. It says, confess your faults one to another. It does not say confess other people's faults to somebody. Too many are good at that. Amen. One fellow said, I don't know why folks won't confess their faults. I'd confess mine if I had any. And there's a lot of attitude like that that goes around too. But here's a promise of prayer. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It will when it's God's will, and yet God's will oftentimes, he lets us pray, and yes, God, like he did with Hezekiah, he can extend a man's life if he wants to, and he can heal him of a disease that's terminal and still use it. It's up to the Lord, but he gives us the privilege to come before him through the shed blood, through Christ. We have an audience with the omnipotent God of the universe, and we can bring our need and our request to him. You know, you hear the word prayer, you're in church. Don't take it lightly. What a privilege it is to step into the very throne room of God with little finite creatures of the dust that we are and petition him. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's so many promises in the Word. I look here again in James. Look at... let me see where I want to go. Back it up to about verse 6 and 7. No, that's not it. Let me move on somewhere else. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And these are good verses to remember. Now, I understand about rightly dividing the Bible. I also understand that some folks over-divide the Bible. And I believe in rightly dividing. I know when it's talking to the Jews. I know when it's talking to the church. But let me also say this, there's not a verse in the Bible God can't spiritually bless you with. Amen. So there's sometime a spiritual application that's just personal to you. And so here in Matthew chapter 7, I understand the Jewish setting and so forth. But pick it up here in chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Well, that's a promise. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, I'll tell you what that verse is saying. It's saying, stay faithful and consistent in your asking. Verse 9, or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Then he makes the analogy, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, you can argue all you want to. I fulfill that verse, and I didn't get what I asked for. Well, book of James again warns you about asking amiss, to consume it on your own lust and no honor to God. And there's a pile of praying goes on like that. There's all kind of people would like to use God like they use other people. Watch out sometime for some of the stuff you see on TV where some guy claims he can just reach up and turn God on like a light bulb and turn him off and just get, he's bossing God around. That don't work that way, folks. That's dangerous ground. And I think a lot of those fellows that try to pull that trick, I don't think they're saved to start with. I think it grieved the Holy Spirit inside of them, if he lived inside of them, some of the stuff they try to pull. But all the promises of prayer, and there's so many of them that you could go from through the Bible, and Old Testament even, and New. Jeremiah over there talks about ask and see great things that we know not. Promise of prayer is something big. And the sad part is it gets so cheapened today, just so watered down today. Be careful about it. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. But I'll tell you what prayer does. Even if it's a public prayer, and I recognize praying that we do in church, it's we know somebody else is listening besides God, it's going to be a little different than our personal prayer in the closet where we get honest with God and tell him our own faults. We trust him. We don't trust everybody else that hears us. They love to go out and repeat it, amen? So we understand that. But even public prayer is still a good testimony for the Lord in this sense. It is witnessing, I believe he's there. I believe he can hear. I believe that he can do. And I even say this. I know when you go to a restaurant, you can say the blessing on the food without being noticed if you want to. I'm not for getting up and calling everybody to order and praying out loud like that, but I am for not hiding it either. Amen. Bow your head and no matter who's looking. Right. Boy, I remember when I first got saved a long time ago, but I still remember some of it. Hadn't been saved very long, and the company I was working for sent me to a school down in Miami. And, of course, they were being kind of cheap with things, so they put two of us in a motel room, and it wasn't a very expensive motel. But, so different ones, two in a room. Well, I was partnered in a room with a man I'd never met before until I sat in the classroom with him. So that night when we got to the motel, we went in there and had a little bunk bed apiece. Moonlight was coming through the window and street lights, whatever, pretty well lit up even after we turned off the lights. And I knew I was in a worldly situation in this stuff with the company and all. I was just a new Christian. Hadn't been saved very long. And I remember he got right in the bed. And my habit at home after I got saved was to get down on my knees side the bed before I got in the bed. And the old devil got on my shoulder and said, you know, he's going to laugh at you. You're going to think you're a little boy down there on your knees side the bed. You know, you can just get in the bed and lay down and pray just as good as you can on your knees. Well, that's true, except it would have been a compromise. And I remember, and I'm not saying I wasn't tempted. I was tempted. I got out on my knees and I said my prayer just like I was at home. He never said nothing about it at all. And later on, before that week was out, I was able to tell him I was a Christian. But just a little contest, just a little test sometimes, just a little thing. But you give God first place. And sometimes just a public prayer is a testimony that somebody believes in the Lord. I get so sick and tired when I hear prayers over a ball game or over a NASCAR where they're afraid to use Jesus' name when they close the prayer. Now, I'll tell you, I appreciate Gibbs, ex-coach Gibbs, used to coach the Redskins, now he's a NASCAR owner. When they call on him to pray, he really prays. And I like that. And he ends it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't back up on it, you know. But we got so many today backing up. And I think I said this recently. I was invited to a school board meeting to come open up in prayer. It's been not too long ago, year, 2 years. And a lot of those fellows are Christians, but I want to tell you, ACLU and all the atheist crowd, they're intimidating. There's a piece of paper laying up there on the pulpit somebody just gave me about Osceola County, I guess it is, backing down on the prayer and Bibles and stuff because they get threatened to be sued by the ACLU. But I was supposed to go open the prayer for the school board and public school board. So I got there about 10 minutes early, five anyway. And I just walked in from the back, and I walked all the way up to the front where all of them were sitting, and I found the head man, and I said, y'all invited me to come have the invocation. Be glad to do it, but I want to tell you something up front. I pray in Jesus' name. He said, that's fine, preacher, that's fine. Truth was, he said, we try, you know, and he's honest about it. He was a Christian. But I want to tell you, Christians take a back seat when they don't have to so many times. They could let their faith be seen. It wouldn't hurt a thing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, there's a reason to pray for the promises. My, the book's full of them. But then also for the past answers we've had. Right. You know, you go through the Bible and look up the prayers that God answered. You look at Elijah out there at the ministerial assassination meeting on Mount Carmel. Remember that? Some of you didn't even catch that. It turned out to be an assassination for the prophets of Baal, you remember? Anyway, truth is, Elijah got some answers to prayer, didn't he? And then Elisha come along and did also himself. Go through the Bible and find out. How about Paul on the ship, the shipwreck? Man, I mean, you just got example after example after example. Well, listen, the same God, the same promises, and many times the same needs are present today that was present then. And I think I could get testimonies from a number of you tonight if I asked you for a personal story of a prayer you had answered. It had to be of God. It could not have come any other way. You know for sure there's no other way except the Lord did it. Well, let me just ask you. Think about it a minute. Think about it a minute. Can you raise your hand and say, I remember one? That's a bunch of hands. Amen. I sure had mine up. I'd get off on telling stories about answered prayer and run over time real quick. But sometimes this thing of prayer between you and the Lord gives you a teaching moment. He teaches you. My wife might remember this. I'm looking for my sister-in-law also. Bobby, I see you over there. My grandma passed away up in Georgia after we'd been married, Sonia and I had been married a few years, and Bobby and Harvey. And of course, we got off from work and we had to go up there for the funeral and had to drive up there for the funeral and back. And so we left at night. It was dark when we left to drive all night, have the funeral the next day, and drive back the next night. When you're young, you could do that sort of thing. Anyway, we did that. And for you young fellows that appreciate good cars, I had a 1955 Chevrolet, hardtop, power pack, truck clutch, overdrive. You want me to tell you more? Anyway. Anyway, we struck out in my car up there. And we was in a hurry. We got in from work, we took off. And in those days, the interstate wasn't like it is now. It was, you drove a lot of country roads getting up there. And so we just hurried. And I was driving along pretty fast. And we was on a country road, not meeting much traffic. And all of a sudden, right in front of me was a herd of cows in the middle of the road. God's truth. I don't know where they got out of the fence or if there was no fence. Back in those days, sometimes they didn't have fences that much. And they were just everywhere. And I was snatching the car, dodging this one, dodging that one. And I mean, I went through a herd of cows and I was doing pretty fast. Anyway, the last one I dodged, I went out on the side of the road and had several tires out in the dirt and side of the road. And I knocked the air out of a tire. So I had to stop and change the tire. Back in those days, that was not rare. You carried a jack and a tire in your trunk and you done it. And I did. And I was just thankful I hadn't hit a cow. Just real thankful. And because I had the chance. But then I got back in the car and I had no brakes, none. I figured I had knocked a line loose or something else with a tire, no brakes. I finally came to a little old service station, just had one light bulb on, and I stopped, and one guy woke up and he was still open, but wasn't nothing he could do for me, didn't have any tools or anything. I lifted the hood, checked the brake fluid, and it was all right, but I didn't have any brakes. Pedal just slapping the floor. And my wife and Bobby can tell you, God was fixing to teach me something. I got back in the car and I said, we all left in a hurry tonight. And I'm a young Christian. You got to understand, very young Christian. And I said, we all got in the car and we hurried. And I said, something inside told me I should have prayed before we started out, and I didn't. I said, so we're going to pray right now. So I prayed, sitting in the car, all four of us. I prayed out loud, and I confessed I should have prayed before. I didn't specifically ask God to fix the brakes, but I just told him we needed help to get on up there and get there in time for the funeral. And with my hand on the Bible, I'm fixing to tell you something. I drove a ways, and next time I mashed the brakes, they were perfect. They stayed perfect the rest of the trip. They stayed perfect after I got home for months. Now I'm enough of a car mechanic to know cars don't heal themselves. They don't grow back together. They don't fix themselves. And I'm telling you, God touched that car and taught me something. And so I believe to this day you ought to pray. Like this scripture we read, pray without ceasing. You ought to pray about things, just little things, any kind of thing. Just it's just better to have God in on it, amen? Now, sometimes, and I've done it, sometimes you may get a little bit presumptuous, I don't know. You got to be careful about that too. I remember first church I pastored in the country, 3 years up there before I came here. And had a young lady that played piano in church. Husband was lost. He was a school teacher. And a fine, decent young man, but he just didn't believe. And so he'd fuss at her a little bit about church being late. And he'd once in a while come with her, but he was an unbeliever. I'd teach like I'm teaching now on a Wednesday night, and sometime he'd come to me and challenge something from a scientific viewpoint, that sort of thing. But I'd call on him, try to get him to come to church, and talk to him about the Lord. I called on him. I had heard somebody else said his wife is pregnant again. She's had 3 miscarriages and she's pregnant again. So I went to the house and I was talking with him. He was very pessimistic. He said, yeah, she's pregnant again. Said it won't be but another week or two and she'll lose this one too. And he just had an attitude like that. Kept on talking that way. And here I am trying to tell him about the Lord and how he ought to get saved and so on. And finally I heard myself saying, and this scared me. I heard myself saying, I said, Danny, she's pregnant again. I'm going to pray God will let her have this baby. He said, preacher, you know, she'll lose this one too. She had 3, you know, she's fixing to lose this one too. And just talking that way, I said, no, I'm going to pray that God will let you have this baby. And went back and forth like that a time or two, and he got up and opened the door for me to leave. And I left, but on the way out, I said something like this to him. I said, well, if God proves you're wrong and he lets this your wife have this baby, will you come to church and think about the Lord that it was from him? He said, yes. If she did, I would. But he wasn't thinking it would happen. Well, to shorten up the story, my wife and I sat in the stairwell of the Leesburg Hospital at 1 a.m. in the morning with his mother-in-law and him. On the other side of the door, that little hospital was where the baby was being born. And let me tell you, that was Saturday night, too. Boy, sometimes the devil gets preachers on Saturday night. But it was Saturday night, and here we were 25 miles away from home. By the time I got home, it was almost time to get cleaned up to go to church. But that baby, the little baby girl, was born perfect. And that morning Sunday school, I got through it. Got up to preach at 11 o'clock, and the doors opened, and here come Danny. Down the one aisle we had in that little building, and sat down. And when I preached, he came to the altar. I led him to the Lord. He'd seen prayer answered. He'd seen God do something. He wanted that to happen real bad. Later on, he made a deacon in the church and so forth. But I'm just saying to you, I remember when he opened the door for me to leave and I left and I got in my car and I went home, and in my heart, talk about praying without ceasing, I said, God, I sure put me and you in a bad spot tonight. I've told him that baby's going to be born. Well, I want to say this. You say, well, it happened anyway. No, it hadn't happened 3 other times. Right. I think God got in it, and I believe that with all my heart. Yes, and I could tell you one story after another. And God's not dead. He hadn't lost any power. He can still do it again.
Amen.
Sure he can. Whatever. He can do it. I think about Elijah and Elisha, you know, when they crossed the Jordan River, and Elijah smote it with his mantle, and it opened up. And Elisha had a promise. If you see me when I go up, Elijah said, if you see me when you go up, you'll have that double portion I promised. And you remember, he did see him go up.
Yes, sir.
He turned back, and the river's closed up now. But he's got the mantle that Elijah dropped. And he's got the promise, and he claims the promise. It's really a bold statement. You read what Elisha said. He goes back and strikes that river with that mantle of Elijah, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He is a bold thing. All right, I'm claiming the promise. And boy, the waters parted, didn't they? And if you read real close, you'll find Elisha did about double the miracles that Elijah did. Double portion is what the promise was, and God is able. Now we ought to pray because of the promises and past answers. That ought to embolden us and encourage us, even on a personal basis. It does me, and I rebuke myself over and over and over when I catch myself worrying. John Wesley said, "I'd soon sin as worry." Well, I have sinned. I have caught myself worrying. And I've rebuked myself for it sometime this way. I'd say, look, I don't know the answer to it. I understand your concern, but have you ever been in bigger trouble? And I have. Did God deliver you out of the bigger trouble? Yes, he did. Then how come he can't deliver you out of this? He can. And you have to kind of argue with yourself like that sometime and say, all right. And I tell you what, it'll help you keep your psychiatrist bill down. It'll keep you from getting all them prescriptions filled that you unfill later and all that. We ought to pray because we've had past answers. We ought to pray because it's the only power that's going to withstand the warfare that we Christians are in, and we are in warfare. We're in a warfare in the world. I mean, it's so bad, I'm not mentioning it tonight, but Ephesians 6:12 tells us over there that we don't just fight against flesh and blood. Amen. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You're not going to beat the devil with muscle. You're not going to beat him with a weapon man-made. It's got to be this thing, this warfare has to be won in prayer. And prayer is our weapon. It's not carnal. Over in Ephesians 6:12, you know the verse good. Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when we try to have an anniversary Sunday again, 44 of them, we enter in a warfare with the devil. He's not happy that we're trying to win souls. He's not happy that more people will hear the gospel if we get our job done and get them here. And so he's going to fight us. Don't be surprised by what he is. And I've been through a lot of anniversary Sundays. I remember a lady that told me off about as bad as I've been told off was on anniversary Sunday. You know what she was mad about? She got trapped in the nursery and had more babies than she knew what to do with. Now, she had some other help in there, but she was mad. I said, you ought to be thankful we got this problem. No. And obviously, she didn't get a blessing that day. And she hurt mine just a little bit, but not too bad. But the truth of the matter is, you're going to enter into a spiritual warfare when you try to do something for God. That's just given, folks. That's going to happen. But you know what Peter said? He said very, very clearly to us over there that our trials are precious to God, the trials of our faith. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you could just sail through this world on calm seas and pretty skies, that wouldn't amount to much. But when you have to go through the fire a little bit, when you get tested, when you get challenged, that's what's going to prove precious on the other side. You heard the saying, if it was easy, anybody could do it. It's not easy. Serving God is not easy, but there's a joy in it that makes it worthwhile now, and boy, on the other side. Somebody said, what kind of job you got? You got any benefits? Well, my earthly benefits aren't too bad, but boy, my heavenly benefits are out of this world. I mean, that's the truth in serving the Lord. And our trials of our faith is precious to God. You will fight the principalities and powers. Over in Daniel chapter 10, won't go to it, but you know Daniel was praying in 21 days. You know what most of us have done? We'd quit. He prayed 3 weeks, 21 days, and the answer couldn't get through. When the angel came and he had to get help to break through, he had to get Michael to come help him to get through. You remember the story? And he told Daniel that. He said, I've been withheld, the prince of Persia. That was an evil prince, evil power. Withstood him for 21 days. And yet Daniel kept praying and the angels kept fighting. And I don't understand all that, except when I get to heaven, we'll probably know a lot more about it. No telling how many of us quit before the blessing ever arrived. Even, think about it, not only let down our cause, let down ourselves, but in a sense, let down the good angels that's fighting for us. Ever think about that? Oh yeah, that's possible. You see, prayer is our weapon. Now, I said all that to say this. I encourage you tonight to pray for this coming Lord's Day, for Sunday. pray for the weather. I know what the weatherman said. He said it's going to rain Friday. It's going to rain into Saturday morning. Let's pray no matter what, we can get the job done on Saturday with our work, our buses. And let's pray for God to hold the weather, and he's done it for us before. Pray he'll hold it, make it just right. Pray for the workers we need. Pray for the safety of the buses. All the things that you can think about. We got a lot of kids that's been here before and will come again, but we got a lot of kids coming for the first time. And pray for their safety. And then bigger than anything else, of course, is praying for souls to be saved. We'll have that teen tent over on the football field. We have a host every year saved over there. We'll have our soul-winning booths after the party starts. The soul-winning booths continue going on. Pray for them and the people that will be working them. And it's work. And pray for the food servers. Just think that thing through. Pray for all of it. Every little detail that bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and souls to be saved. Pray for the auditorium. I've seen some big days where it looked like it froze up in here. No matter how we preach the gospel, it just like froze up. Now we've had last two Sundays, good invitations and people being saved. I sure want to see that this Sunday. And I hope that you'll pray that that way for it. And there will be stress. Don't try to pray. God don't send us no stress. He said tribulation worketh patience. And so stress is kind of in the middle of that tribulation, you might say. But pray that we'll be able to handle it all, that people will handle it all and have the right spirit about them and be able to claim the victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray for those that will be singing and certainly pray for the preaching. And let's just bathe this thing in prayer. Work hard as we can, like it all depends on us, and then pray like it all depends on God. Start tonight by picking you a spot on that chart, signing your name, and remembering where it was. And if you have to set your alarm clock, I used to say this, go ahead and tell me when you're going to pray, and I'll call you to wake you up. Somebody took me up on that. I make that challenge no more. Amen. Like I say,